words in papers, words in books, words on TV, words for books, words of comfort, words of peace, words to make the fighting cease, words to tell you what to do, words are working hard for you. Eat your words.
Lake Superior State University is out with their 38th annual list of words to be banished. Leading the list, fiscal cliff, kick the can down the road, and double down. Fortunately, we don't live in a world where words can be banned, but let's face it, sometimes you get sick and tired of phrases and you'd kind of like to ban them. So I'm asking today, are there any words or phrases you'd like to ban in the coming year? I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Maybe you just feel that these words are overused. It's 800-289-5869. Or maybe you'd like to ban a word or phrase because you think it's just misleading or wrong. Tell me what it is and why you'd like to ban it. You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Bill of Bellingham wrote, I believe the phrase at the end of the day should be banned, and anyone using this should be sent to the wastelands of Texas, strapped onto the back of a flatbed truck with big bungee cords to live for a year among the armadillos. Bill, tell us what you really think. Krupa wrote to us, Sudoku should be banned. I don't know why. Maybe Krupa thinks that the game should be banned also. Rudy would like to ban amazeballs and any derivatives of that. John would like to ban bro and bruh. Franny says, if I could wave a magic wand, I would erase that said from the brains of all radio announcers and correspondents. It drives me nuts. And that said, my husband as well. And I'm still trying to parse this, Franny. Does your husband drive you nuts as well? Does he say? I'm a little confused about that. You can call us and tell us about it. 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation@kuow.org for the words or phrases you'd just as soon never hear again in 2013. For Kelly, it was double down on anything. For Alex, it was, I want people to stop taking it to the next level. I'll give you mine right now. It just is what it is. It's such a frustrating thing to hear when it's usually used when there's a situation or a difficult problem. Someone says, it's just what it is. The phrase has zero information, and it kind of ends thinking. Basically, when you hear that, it means, shut up. There's nothing more to say about it. But why would you have to say that? I'd like to have people start saying, it is what it isn't, and then maybe you get a conversation going. So what are the phrases or words that you would like to ban in 2013? When we talk about words, we like to talk with Ben Zimmer. He's the executive producer of the Visual Thesaurus and Vocabulary.com, language columnist for the Boston Globe, and you might have read him also in the New York Times, where he was the on-language columnist for that newspaper. Ben Zimmer, thank you so much for taking the time.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Are you too even-handed to make a call right now for banning any word or phrase, Ben?
I'm not a fan of banning words or that whole approach to language. Obviously, there will always be words and phrases that annoy us for various reasons. But certainly in my line of work, where I'm sort of dealing with words every day, it wouldn't be very good for my blood pressure if I was constantly getting riled up and saying, I want that out of the language right now. But I'm very interested in what other people get bothered by, sometimes to the point of inspiring actual rage. You could call it word rage. We heard some from, you were quoting one of your listeners who wanted to perpetrate violence on anyone who used at the end of the day. And so I'm fascinated by sometimes very extreme reactions that people can have to a particular word or phrase that bothers them.
And you're the word guy, Ben, so you must hear from these folks all the time. What are the kind of ones that have popped up in recent weeks and months, the things that are really ticking people off?
Well, you mentioned some of them. I mean, certainly things that become cliches of various kinds. So it can start off as an interesting use of metaphorical language, for instance. But if it's overused, that can really get on people's nerves. So double down was already mentioned, and you know that comes from blackjack originally. As you feel confident enough about your hand that you can double your bet and only take one more card. And we have plenty of gambling metaphors in the English language, but that one really took off this past year, being used to refer to sort of high risk, high reward decisions, sometimes foolhardy decisions that politicians might make or people in the technology sector. Everybody seemed to be doubling down. And we heard that all the time in the media. Similarly, right now, we're hearing about kicking the can down the road. There was another one that showed up on the Lake Superior State University list of words and phrases that they would like to see go. it becomes a tired metaphor. And so, you know, those are generally the ones that people pick up on, but people can have all sorts of arbitrary peeves, which are sometimes difficult to figure out. People might not like the word moist, for instance, and they can have a very visceral reaction to that word. In fact, there are Facebook groups devoted to people wanting to remove the word moist from the English language.
Well, I'll be surprised if anyone in our Seattle audience calls up to object to moist, because basically we're living that every single day. But if you have a word or a phrase that you would like to banish from the English language, we are empowering you today on The Conversation to do that, at least for this hour, to express your views on that. Ben Zimmer, language maven, is with us to do that. We're at 206-543-5869. 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. We've got Pete on the line. Pete, what's the word you want to banish?
Hi, Ross. Well, it's dude.
You want to do away with dude?
I want to do away with dude. It's not just that people say it, and they mean three or four different things. And they say it on the East Coast, West Coast now. And the worst part is young ladies are calling each other dude now, and that just messes it all up even more.
And why does it bug you so much? Have you figured it out, Pete?
Well, it's overused, and there's so many other terms that somebody could use. And I guess that I hear it six or seven times a day.
So too much, too many dudes.
Overused with the dude.
Okay, Pete. Pete would ban dude. That goes on our list of words that you would ban. We're going to take a short break, and when we continue, you'll get a chance to be on the air at 206-543-5869 and banish a word or phrase from the English language. Yes, you could do it on the air on The Conversation today, but you got to explain why. And maybe you want to disagree. Maybe you still like that dudely language. Call up and defend words that others would like to banish. That's all coming up on The Conversation. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. And today we're talking about the words or phrases you would like to see banned in 2013. And we are spurred on by the 38th annual list of words from Lake Superior State University. I am not familiar with the academic achievements of that school in particular, but every year they come out with this list, and it gets us to say Lake Superior State University, leading their list of words to be banned: fiscal cliff, kick the can down the road, and double down, followed by job creators / creation, passion, passionate, and spoiler alert are some of the other ones on the top of that list. What are yours? 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. Rick wrote epic. He'd like to retire the word epic. What's the word or phrase you'd like to retire and why? Bob, oh my goodness, just get Bob going. Here he goes. Fracking, homeland, enhanced interrogation techniques, rigorous information pursuit measures, peacekeepers, and other military euphemisms. Also, what peeves Bob is do the math, get with the program, outside the box. That being said, at the end of the day, on the same page, and his favorite, no worries, which I guess translates to his least favorite, the phrase he would like to have banned. With us, Ben Zimmer, executive producer of the Visual Thesaurus and Vocabulary.com, language columnist for the Boston Globe, and our word guy. And it can seem petty and peevish sometimes, Ben, having been the object of ire of people who object to my use of words and phrases sometimes. But I got to say, it's kind of great that people are passionate about words. It obviously shows that words matter to them.
That's absolutely true. And I mean, we see whenever something like this goes on where people are encouraged to say, you know, what words or phrases bother them, it does spur a very big discussion. So, you know, for instance, the New Yorker last year had an online contest about what word people would want to drop from the English language. And it generated, you know, huge discussions on Twitter and online. And they ended up deciding that they would like to get rid of the word slacks.
Slacks? Slacks like the pants?
Slacks. Yes, as in pants.
Of all the words, and why so much ire directed at slacks? I mean, I'm from the Northwest, but I still kind of get moist. But why slacks?
That's a good question. I think some people just didn't like the sound of it. They thought it was somehow unnecessary, or that they had other connotations that came up with that. I mean, that was, again, similar to people reacting very negatively to a word like moist. It's sometimes it's a combination of the sound of the word and what it means. Moist bothers people, but similar sounding words like joist or foist wouldn't bother them. So it's something to do with the sound of it and what images it might conjure up. So, you know, people can have visceral reactions, and it's fascinating just to see how these seemingly innocuous words can really rile people up.
Let's find out why Paige is riled up. Paige joins us today from Gig Harbor, and the object of your ire, Paige, is a whole genre of films. What bugs you?
I hate the word bromance.
Now,
it's
a brother romance. It's like, you know, guys having a relationship together. Why does it bother you?
Well, there's no female equivalent to it. You know, I have close relationships with girls that are my friends, but it's only, you can only say, oh, they're my girlfriend. I can't have a lady mance or a girl mance. It's just, and then why is there no girl one? Why do it have to be only bromance?
So wait a minute. You object to bromance just because you don't have one for your relationship with your girlfriends?
Well, it just feels like a little uneven. Like, oh, why can't I have like a friendship with a girl that's like romantic without it being, I don't know, not friendly like that.
Girl crush, but, girl crush. I've heard that.
That's true. There is a girl crush, but what
or
if
woman
I don't
crush,
have...
if you prefer.
That's true, but I don't really have a crush on them. I'm just like, you know, we're just hanging out and we're having a good time and we're, you know, really good friends. And that's what the guy version means. So I don't get the girl version.
Ben Zimmer, you're the word guy. Is there a woman equivalent to bromance?
I think that shows one of the gender disparities in language. There very often are terms that apply to one gender and not the other. And sometimes it can tell us a lot about gender relations or people's views about gender and sexuality. In the case of bromance, it's filling a kind of a semantic need, I guess, to describe a particular, you know, kind of relationship between men that men can perhaps refer to without it having, you know, homosexual implications or whatever. And so it tells us, again, something about the way we live and the way we sort of view gender and sexual relations that way. And that's gender terms often get people talking and get people animated for exactly those reasons.
And in bromance, of course, it implies a non-sexual close relationship between new men. But Paige, you know, let's see if we can't get some listeners to come up with a female equivalent of bromance. And if we can get one that you like, will you let bromance slide? Will it be okay with you if we find a good one?
Ooh, well, yeah.
All right.
we'll let it survive.
Okay, we'll see what we come up with. Thanks a lot for calling, Paige. So we need the female equivalent to bromance so that Paige will allow bromance to continue. She doesn't like the fact that it's that one that's there. Let's go to Daryl. He's listening to us today in Bellingham. We're doing a little exercise for the beginning of 2013. The words that you would like to ban and bar. Daryl, thanks for giving us a call today. What is the word or phrase that you have just had it up to here with?
Boots on the ground or on the ground. I hear reporters saying this. I heard Katie Carrick refer to one of her reporters that she was talking to as being on the ground somewhere. It's just ridiculous, and it's a way overused. It's a military term.
Now, of course, it's used to mean that we're not just phoning it in. We actually have someone on location who's reporting these events as they see it. It's a first-person report, and it comes from the military term of sending troops in boots on the ground. But why does it bug you to hear it used?
It just becomes so overused. It's a military term, and it's been used to indicate anything. I mean, anybody who's somewhere witnessing an event. And, you know, there's a fine term for that, an eyewitness, you know, or like you said, on site. I don't know. The boots on the ground phrase just annoys me a lot.
So, but it's okay when you hear a military person say boots on the ground, but when you hear a non-military person say it, you don't like it?
Military people are supposed to be tools. I mean, that's kind of their nature. And so they use these terms. You know, there's another one I really hate, war fighter, soldier. You know, they get to do that because that's just what they do.
Okay, so you're not...
When civilians start saying on the ground or boots on the ground, especially civilian reporters, it annoys me a lot.
Yeah. Hey, Daryl, thanks a lot for your phone call. And Ben Zimmer, that kind of brings up the fact that I know in journalism and I know in radio and virtually any kind of specialized profession, we have our own little words that we use that maybe other people don't understand. And sometimes they do get applied elsewhere. And it annoys this caller that boots on the ground is being used by civilians.
Right. And I mean, you can see how something like that would happen if it develops as a particular kind of jargon, military jargon, then, you know, it might start spreading among the reporters whose job it is to, you know, cover military operations. They might be embedded with troops and they're picking up the lingo and using it in their reports. And then it might spread further into the journalistic community, especially if you want to sound, you know, very, very serious and, you know, you're using the right language to describe it, then it might spread that way. Once it gets a foothold like that, though, then it can end up spreading out even further. That, you know, definitely happens with military terms like that, where we find it getting used in lots of civilian situations. But you know, that's just the way language unfolds sometimes, where, you know, one particular culture takes it up and then another one likes the sound of it and runs with it and sometimes turns its meaning into something else.
We got this from Tony. He wants to ban the phrase breaking news. He writes, everything reported is now breaking news. What about when news breaks, we fix it, Tony? Would that be okay with you? Let's go to Kathy. We're talking about those phrases or words that you would like to ban and why you would like to ban them. Kathy's calling us today from Shoreline with her nomination. Okay, Kathy, you're in charge of words. What's the word or phrase you want to get rid of in 2013?
Oh, please, let's eliminate reaching out when you mean you're trying to contact somebody or talk to somebody about a news event or, you know, something that you want to discuss.
Now, why does that bug you so much?
Because it sounds like some kind of talk show, touchy-feely phrase that it's kind of meaningless.
You don't know what it means?
I know what it means, but it's not... Why don't you just say talk to or contact?
Okay, or trying. I'm trying to reach someone. I'm not reaching. We've been trying to reach someone.
Reaching out to somebody. It sounds like they're hanging off a cliff, and you need to rescue them or something.
Okay, so reaching out only when someone is hanging off a cliff. That would be okay.
Yeah, that would be okay.
All right. Kathy, thanks a lot for calling. Let's go up to Capitol Hill. We have Constanza on the line. We're talking about those words or phrases we are totally sick of and we don't want to hear this year. Constanza, what's yours?
Yes, I'm totally sick of the phrase, my bad.
It's kind of an apology. It's like, oh, I did something wrong. It's my bad. But you don't
like it. It's an admitting of a mistake, but in such an infantile way. And it makes light, if you know, of your apology. And there's, you know, when you say my bad, then there's nothing more to be said. And I think it really points toward a trend in not taking responsibility for your actions.
So you're okay with people apologizing, but you think this is too abbreviated a form and gets them off the hook too quickly?
Yes, and in such a childish level mm-hmm. that, you know, whenever I hear it, I just want to kick somebody.
And then you'll have to say sorry and go into your apology and not use the words my bad.
Yeah, because it's just glossing it over. Let's go to the next. My bad, you know.
Right. Constanza, yeah. Thanks a lot for that phone call. So Ben Zimmer, we hear that a lot. My bad. And do you find a lot of people also complaining about it for the same reasons that Constanza doesn't like it? The fact that it's just too short and it sort of short stops what maybe should be a longer apology.
Yes, I have heard complaints about my bad for a while now, and it's interesting to look at how that one developed. It apparently started off as an expression that was used in pickup basketball games going back to the 1980s, and it became popular in basketball NBA players like Manute Bol was famous for using that term. And you can see its appeal in, say, a pickup basketball game where you want to make a very quick apology. You don't want to dwell on it. You don't want to do that some long, drawn-out mea culpa. You just want to take responsibility for not playing your position correctly or whatever. Just say, okay, that was my bad, and then, you know, move on. The game continues. So it's interesting to see how that spread from, you know, from basketball to a wider usage, and it's you know, I find that particularly fascinating just because it serves a particular social purpose, making an apology for something that you've done without dwelling on it, but just it does bother people for seeming to be to flip a reaction to what might be a more serious situation.
And that indicates to me that context is all. If you're playing basketball, you might want to get that apology out of the way very quickly with just a no bad, because you got to run down the other end of the court and defend or whatever. But maybe in a social situation, you're really not under those time constraints and you're sort of you are trying to abbreviate it inappropriately.
Right, and then it might serve a different kind of social purpose, where instead it relates to a kind of slang or a style of talking that you might want to associate yourself with, and so you would use it for those purposes. But it's true that when you say it, it can sound very off the cuff or even childish to use it that way, but it's one of those expressions that's really taken off in the language.
That's really interesting, Ben, because you're kind of pointing out where appropriating a short phrase like that from another context might grate against someone's sensibility, because when you decontextualize it, when you take it and put it somewhere else, it doesn't really fit right. It might work well with that, and of course that happens all the time with older people who are appropriating young slang, and there's a lot of pushback sometimes when it's considered that you are too old to use that particular slang.
That's quite true. In fact, one example that we talked about a few months ago, YOLO, which also showed up on the Lake Superior State University list of banished words, that acronym for "You Only Live Once," which spread like wildfire among young English speakers this year, not just in the U.S. but around the world. Has been taken up by older speakers as well. Katie Couric, for instance, having a regular segment on her show, "What's Your YOLO?" to describe things that you'd like to do before you die. So when young people pick up on that slang, sometimes it seems like it's spread too far and loses that youthful cachet that it might have had.
And you know that story is not over. I think some say, and you might know the truth of this, some say it originated with a song by the musician Drake. And I just read somewhere this week that he's suing people who are using YOLO. He's claiming it's his phrase, and he wants a cut of anybody making money off of YOLO. Did it come from Drake?
Well, Drake is the one who popularized it with his song "The Motto," that's what's led to the current popularization. I looked into the history of it, and the actual expression "You Only Live Once" has been used for a couple centuries, actually. The acronym form YOLO, I found examples going all the way back to 1993, when there was a trademark, actually, for YOLO gear. And it said, "YOLO, you only live once." So it was a clothing line way back in 1993. So if Drake thinks that he can now get some sort of trademark protection on his phrase, and so other people can't use it on shirts and so forth, then I think he's not going to have much luck.
Yeah, come on. That James Bond movie was called "You Only Live Twice," and it was a whole play on "You Only Live Once." So obviously it was older than Drake. Let's go to Patrick. He's listening today in Tumwater as we continue to share the words or phrases we'd like to ban. How about you, Patrick?
You know, this is a phrase that I feel is overused, and I don't necessarily want it banned, but I don't like it being said, especially by politicians, when they say the phrase, "the American people," and they just assume that, well, this is what the American people want, when there's an awful lot of people out here, and we're all kind of in a disagreeing moment when we need to come together and actually figure it out.
But isn't that the reason it's used, though, Patrick? It's kind of a call to us all being together as the American people. That's the whole purpose of it.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, and that's why I don't necessarily want the phrase banned. But it is frustrating when specific extreme conservative representatives of our government are putting words in my mouth, or at least when I hear them say that. I know it's not coming out of my mouth, but
yeah,
when they say it like I say it, I'm like, no, that's not what I agree. That's not what I think.
Right, so it depends on who says it. So if someone says the American people and it's something you agree with, you're okay with that?
Absolutely.
Okay, Patrick, thanks a lot for your phone call. We're talking about phrases we'd like to ban. Curtis writes, pleaded, speeded, hanged, and leaped. He continues, NPR reporters are guilty of using all of these words. I realize that some colleges teach pleaded is a correct word, but it still sounds like nails on a chalkboard to me. And Curtis's comment kind of brings out the fact that things can be technically correct, but they sound like nails on a chalkboard to a lot of people, don't they, Ben?
If it's something like pleaded, I mean, that's a case where there are different possibilities for the past tense form of it. You could say pleaded, or you could say pled. Lawyers and legal writers tend to prefer pled, but those have been varying in English for a long time. So it's a case where there's no reason to say that one is right and one is wrong. If you're used to one of them, then the other one might sound odd to you, and you might react negatively to it.
Ben Zimmer, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
You can read him at the Boston Globe online. He's the executive producer of the Visual Thesaurus and Vocabulary.com. So, irregardless, dude, I feel you. That said, the breaking news is that at the end of the day, this everything is awesome. Just do the math, double down, and kick the can down the road, because it is what it is. Just saying.
Words of nuance, words of skill, and words of romance are a thrill. Words are stupid, words are fun, words can put you on the run. Mots pressés, mots sensés, mots qui disent la vérité, mots maudits.